that you'll help us to rejoice even more than we do already by getting to know you better. Bless your word. Bless each of us that we sit here. Help us to submit ourselves in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen. As some of you know, I have a ministry on shortwave radio, so I get out there and teach in the evening, every night. And I have a lot of people that write letters to me from all over the world on that too. Anyway, one of them wrote me a little letter, sent me a little note here that I want to read to you. That it's good to have a little levity in the class. You know what levity is? What's levity? Laughter. All right.
Humor.
Laughter. Humor. All right. I sent a DVD over to Japan, and Gina said it was wonderful to see the class laughing and everybody having fun while they learned. She said it was really neat, because sometimes church services are extremely serious. And in my classes, Tony has been laughing at me and with me for the last 20-something years. And Brother Blanton and some of the others in here that have been around here for a long, long time. Anyway, now, Brother Paul lives in British Columbia. Now, Paul is a health food type person. He is a vegetarian mostly. He lived out on a farm. They homeschooled their kids, lit big out there in the middle of nowhere. He's a Christian man. And he writes some funny things sometimes, but here's something that he put together. And just... since we're in talking about creation, I thought this would fit right in real good. All right? In the beginning, now this is not real good because my wife has been to Schatz Bakery and brought all the sweet stuff back there for you. And all those little goodies. So, Marilyn, I want to ask your forgiveness before I ever say anything here, okay?
Give her thanks, too.
And thank you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and populated the earth with broccoli, cauliflower, spinach, green and yellow, and red vegetables of all kinds, so man and woman could live long and healthy lives. Then, using God's great gift, Satan created Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And Krispy Kreme donuts. And Satan said, "You want chocolate with that?" And man said, "Yes." And woman said, "Oh, as long as you're at it, add a little some sprinkles." And they gained 10 pounds, and Satan smiled. And God created healthful yogurt that woman might keep the figure that man found so fair. And Satan brought forth the white flour from the wheat and sugar and from the cane and combined them. And woman went from size 6 to 14. So God says, "Try my fresh green salad." And Satan presented Thousand Island dressing, buttery croutons, and garlic toast on the side. And man and woman unfastened their belts, following the repast. Then God said, "I've sent you heart-healthy vegetables and olive oil in which to cook them." And Satan brought forth deep-fried fish and chicken-fried steak so big it took its own platter. And man gave more weight, and his cholesterol went through the roof. God then created light, fluffy, white cake and named it angel food cake and said, "It's good." Marilyn made one of those the other day. And Satan then created chocolate cake and named it devil's food. God then brought forth running shoes that his children might lose those extra pounds. And Satan gave them cable TV with remote control so man would not have to toil changing the channels. And man and woman laughed and cried before the flickering blue light and gained pounds and pounds and pounds. Then God brought forth the potato, naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition, and Satan peeled off the beautiful skin and sliced the starchy center into chips and deep-fried them, and man gained even more pounds. God then gave them lean beef so man might consume fewer calories and still satisfy his appetite, and Satan created McDonald's and its 99-cent double cheeseburger and said, "You want fries with that?" And man replied, "Yes," and supersized them. And Satan said, "It's good." And man went into cardiac arrest. And God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. Then Satan created HMOs. I thought you might like that. Since we're writing that book.
All that did was God.
Let's go to McDonald's.
You want to go to McDonald's after we have the class?
We have to get this class over. We don't have time for a McDonald's.
Supersize it. All right. Well, we had our laughter, didn't we? All right, on page number 16. Page number 16. What was the first thing that happened in the reconstruction of the earth? All right? What was the first thing that happened in the reconstruction of the earth? We see that God created the earth. All right? Barashith bara. In beginnings created God. Et Hashemayim, the heavens, and the earth. And then what happened to the earth? We call ours. Haya tohu wabohu. All right? And then the earth, she became formless and void. And then what did God do? What was God's reaction? What was God's reaction, Bill?
It was said it was good.
No. What was God's reaction? Who said that over on this side?
He was brooding over it.
Brooding. Brother Mel, did you say that? Oh, Brother Lee. Okay. Who said that? Who did it? Brother Lee. He brooded. What's brooding mean?
Morning.
All right. I wish I had brought my interlinear of Genesis. Some of you might have it. Do you have it, Brother David? The interlinear of Genesis? You know, the one that I handed out Wednesday night?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. That word brooded, hovered over, brooded over. Now, how many of you have been out on a farm? Been out on a farm. Well, you live on one all the time, don't you, Wally?
Been in town.
Yeah. You've been in a farm more than you've been in town, haven't you? Well, out on the farm, hens brood over eggs, don't they?
We don't mess with them.
Yeah, they get very upset. I've got scars all over me from picking out eggs underneath the hens they're wanting set. They don't like you taking their eggs. And when I go out there and I gather up the eggs, they look at me like this and just follow that egg over there. They're looking at me and looking at their egg, and I'm picking up their egg, and they don't like it. Well, that word in Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth she became formless and void, and darkness was over the faces of the deep. Okay? Darkness became over the faces of the deep. El Panay, the faces of the deep. Darkness became. Now, what was here before?
Well, the pure light.
There was pure light.
The real light.
The real light.
Not natural light that we have now.
Yeah. Not created light.
Not artificial light.
Not artificial light. We have a created light now.
Yeah.
Now, the Lakota Indians. Lakota. What does Lakota mean?
The people.
The human beings. That's what it means. Lakota and Dakota and Nakota. They all mean, it means the human beings. But the Lakota men, especially the preachers among the tribe. How many of you ever heard of Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull? You know, pretty famous in history. You know what they were? Oh, well, we must be related. Anyway, Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull, they were Lakotas. And
I don't want no remarks about me anymore. What you two go.
Anyway, a preacher among the tribe. Every morning they had a sermon. A man would go out, and they call him the morning crier, and he would go out and he would pray, and then he would go through all of the teepees, through all where the camp was, and he would preach all the way through there, telling them about God and how good God was to them every day. That we need to trust God and take care of each other and love one another and all this kind of stuff. Well, all these Lakota men, when they would go out there, they would put their hands up and feel the power of the sun. And they say, God, energize me with your power because you made that power. That is just a reflection of who you are. Just a reflection of who you are. So, the real light, originally in the original creation, was God Himself. But he also had a caretaker over that creation. And what was his name? What did his name mean? Huh? Light carrier. Oh, I tell you, just like that, from both ends of you girls. Light carrier. Light carrier. That's what Lucifer meant. How many of you ever heard of Lucifer matches? That's a long time. Brother Blanton, you're about the only one old enough around here to hear of a Lucifer. A Lucifer match. Lucifer matches. You know, they used to have Lucifer matches that lit up. Right. Strike every time, anywhere. Matches, all right? Lucifer matches. Well, Lucifer means light carrier. But what did Lucifer, in his rebellion and his pride, bring to the cosmos? Sin, and let's look at it. All right, confusion, destruction, and the earth, she became formless and void, and darkness became over the faces of the deep. All right, now I'm giving you kind of a literal translation of this. I'm keeping it kind of in order.
I just mentioned something before we get too far. And the word create means, a part of its meaning is forming it, to form it.
To beat it out.
To shape it.
Mm-hmm.
When, after Lucifer got through with it, it says it became without form.
Form. That's
so
right.
Lucifer just undid what God did. And you can really get deep into that when you go in to look at the atoms and things that this world, this creation was made of.
Mm-hmm.
God put it together in a certain way. We're put together in a certain way. These chairs are, this building is, everything is, and Lucifer just totally destroyed that order.
That's right.
And God had to go back in and restore that order.
Reconstruct it. Thank you, brother. The word bara means to beat out, to shape, to fashion, to form, into form. All right? Tuhu vavuhu means the opposite.
Yeah.
The earth, she became destroyed.
And useless.
And useless. Terribly useless. And then we see that darkness became over the faces. All right? It says was, but darkness became. There was light, but darkness became over the faces of the deep. And then it says, you can put out, you can take that definite article out of there because it's not in Hebrew. There's no ha in there. All right? And then it says, and spirit, not of God, but spirit God. Period. Am I right, brother?
Yes.
That's what it says in Hebrew. Spirit God.
That's exactly what it says.
Spirit Ura Elohim. All right? Spirit God began, not was, but began to move over the faces of the waters. All right? Spirit God began to move over the faces of the waters. Now, what was Spirit God doing here over the faces of the water? Moving. Brooding. What does a hen do when she sets on her eggs?
Incubating.
She's bringing forth, she's incubating what? Life. All right? Now, in this word, to brood, to move over, also there is sorrow in that word. In Hebrew, there is sorrow in that word. It means compassion. Well, God created a perfect world, didn't He? And it was perfect order. It was beat out and fashioned by Him, and then it became out of order. Is that... Is it too cold? Is it too cold?
I've got to leave.
Okay. Can you turn it up just a little bit? Because it's getting chilly up here, too. Last Wednesday night, it was real chilly.
Yeah,
we had it really going. But we were preaching hard. All right. Now let's look at what happens. Now, number one in your little syllabus, what was the first thing that happened in the reconstruction of the earth in Genesis 1 and 2? That's the scripture you write down there. And it said, Spirit God brooding, moving over the faces of the earth. Okay, of the deep. That's your answer for that. So you can write that in there. Spirit God brooding over, worrying over, troubled over the faces of the earth. Now number two. Briefly describe what happened on each of the 7 days of the earth's reconstruction. And that's where we're beginning now. Number A, the vision of light and darkness. Let's see what happened there. Number A, division of light and darkness. That's what you put down there. See, I'm even putting your, giving you the answers here, okay? How many of you are reading the book? All right. I've got some more books coming. They're coming, Bill. They're in the mail, all right? Do you have a question here right in between this? Do you have
No.
You're afraid to talk now, aren't you? You're right in the middle here. All right. Spirit God began to move over the faces of the waters. And then verse number 3 now. B is Genesis 1 and 3. All right, Genesis 1 and 3. Then God said, let there become what? Light. And what does it say? And light became. And light became. All right? Let there become light, and light became. All right.
Did it say light evolved?
No, it didn't evolve. It didn't evolve. Now, what kind of light was this? Now, let's talk about this light. All right? This kind of light. We get the word Greek from Greek. We get the word photo. It comes from the Greek word phos. We have the name photios right out of Greek, which means frank or light. And we have the name Francis in English. That's a feminine name for light. And frank is a masculine name for light. All right? And it's Francisco. In Spanish, all right, Francisco. That means light. Now you know what the Spanish word means also. It means light. But this kind of light is not the kind of light that was in the beginning. The light that was in the beginning was God's light. And He had a subsidiary light carrier, which was Lucifer. And Lucifer destroyed what was there. All right? He made a mess out of God's creation. But God's not going to give up there. He's going to do something here. The first thing He did was what? Separate light from darkness. Every night, when it gets dark, we ought to remember what Satan did. You know, I brought a lot of little stories. I used to be a missionary among Indian people. And the Indian people were so abused by the white missionaries that they would not look at a Bible at all. Because they didn't believe white man at all. They thought he was some kind of animal with no soul. Because all the treaties and everything that he'd ever made with the Indian people, he broke. And they would, when they got a treaty, haven't you ever heard of the peace pipe? Remember they smoked the peace pipe? Now among the Indian people, when you got the pipe out and you put the pipe together, you were calling God to come to you and listen to what you had to say and be a witness. They asked God, requested for God to come and sat down with us. Because we got something very important to talk about here. And we want you to be a witness to it. And what comes out of our mouths, we want you to hold it forever. Hold us forever accountable to it. Because He's there. So they'd get out there and they'd take the pipe. All right? And they would go to all the directions. They would go to the north. The north, they said, God, give us wisdom. That's where white is, you know. White was the color of the north. Then they'd go to the east and say, God, remind us of your great power every day when you send us the sun up. Remind us that you are the creator and you are the one that holds all things together and all of our lives are in your hands. And they'd look south. And north was intelligence and wisdom. Now they go to south and they say, God, help us to remember, even though we have wisdom, help us also to have compassion to our fellow man, to help someone when he's in need and whatever. And then they go to the west. And what color do you think the west was? What color do you think the west was? Where does the sun go down? West. What is it, brother?
Black.
Darkness. And they turn to the west and they'd say, God, help us to remember that we are frail and our lives are but a vapor in time. Help us to remember that all of us have to meet you one of these days and remember who you are. Darkness. Every time we look at to the west and we see the sun go down, we ought to be reminded that because of Adam's sin, because of Satan's sin, there is darkness in the world and all of us have to die because of our relationship to Adam. But we have everlasting life in Jesus Christ, don't we? All right, the second Adam. So let's look at that. Number A, division of light and darkness. Number B. All right. Number B, separation of water on land and water in the atmosphere. All right, let's look at that. Genesis 1 and 4 is the verse for that also. Genesis 1 and 4. Someone read that for me. Genesis 1 and 4. You got that in Hebrew, Brother Randall? Well, you all we need is the translation of it anyway. Yeah, New American Standard is real good. That's at least we don't have to listen to Episcopalian preach today, do we? New American Standard.
1 and 4?
Yeah, 1 and 4.
God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness.
All right. And God saw that the light became good. The light, things changed. The word became has an idea of change, doesn't it? From one state to another. So that light changed from darkness, and the light was what? Good. Good. And God separated the light from the darkness. All right. Now let's go down a little further.
But at this point, it was still the light that was coming from God, not the luminaries.
No. Well, God is going to tell you how He did it. Hebrew makes a statement, and then it explains itself later. In the book, in Genesis 1:26, it says God created man. And He created the He, them, male and female. But then in the second chapter, it tells you that He created man first, doesn't it? So it just explains itself sometimes. It'll make a statement and then it'll explain it later.
Just wait on God.
All right. So number five. Number five. Let's look at verse number five. Write down Genesis 1 and 5 there someplace. So He separated light from darkness. All right. Light from darkness. And this is the first birthday of the recreation. This is it. This is what Brother Hubbard used to say. Did he tell you that when he talked to you? This is the first birthday of the reconstruction of the earth. This is when the earth was born again.
This is original.
This is when the earth was born again. You know, when you're born the first time in this earth, you're born to death, aren't you? When you're born again, you're born unto life. All right. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from darkness. And verse number five, what are we going to say about this now? Genesis 1 and 5. Tony, are you there?
God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning became the first day.
All right, I like the way you put that. The evening and the morning became the first day. This is the birthday of the new heavens and the new earth. All right. This is the first day. All right. Now let's go to number six. All right. Number six. Let's look at that one. Number six. Now, we can pass over that. You can just read the book of Genesis a lot of times. But when you go back and you start tearing it apart and start looking at it like this, it means a whole lot more, I hope. Then God said, "Let there become a breathing space in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." All right. Let there be a breathing space in the midst of the waters. Let me get my pen out here if I can find it. Draw your picture of this. Here's the earth. Ha'aretz. All right. And then here on the earth also is Hashemayim, waters. Okay. Now, when the earth was first created, there was land and there was waters. Okay. On the earth. And God is going to separate these waters. And then He's going to put a breathing space in the middle. Now here we have the earth, we'll put E on there, and we have waters on this globe, earth, okay? This glob of terra, earth, and we have earth and we have water. And then God is going to begin to separate the waters from the waters.
So we don't need all that water.
Yeah.
Just part of it.
God was going to use it later, wasn't he?
Yeah.
God did use that water later. What happened over here? What happened right here? The great flood. So God created the waters. Is God really omniscient?
He really is.
He wouldn't be God if he wasn't omniscient. He didn't know everything, would he?
He'd be me.
All right. He wouldn't be God. Okay? God knows everything. You're not going to hide anything from the Lord. And when God created, when he created the original heavens and the earth, he created and populated it with animals and life and everything because he knew in the end that he was going to drag mankind by their greed over here in the Middle East after that oil. So he saw from there to there. Now God saw over here, when God is reconstructing the earth, he also saw that he was going to need some water over here, didn't he? Now he could have created the water right here, but it was already in store. The Lord said that he stored up water for the judgment in the days of Noah. And what is he storing up now in judgment?
Fire.
Who said that?
Fire.
Boy, I tell you, you've got that right out there. You knew that already, didn't you, brother? That's fire. Great heat. Judgment. All right. This water. Now there's water on the earth. There's water in the earth. How many of you ever gone to the headwaters of a creek or a spring or a river? If you go back up there in Minnesota, way up there in the headwaters of the, I think it's the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
You can walk across the Mississippi River up there just to this trickle. Of course, coming out of the ground. And then more and more springs that come out of the earth keep adding to that until you got the mighty Mississippi. All right? And the headwaters of the Nile River. There's a place where they start. I have never got to take my wife up there yet, but I want to take her up into Wyman Canyon, up on White Mountain, and I can show her where that Crooked Creek just comes right out of the ground. I mean, there is a place where Crooked Creek just starts flowing out of the ground, and it goes all the way down and crosses and down into what they call Deep Springs Lake or Deep Springs College down there. A little pond down there where it goes, and they water their alfalfa fields and everything with that water from Crooked Creek. That starts right there at Robert's Ranch. Just runs out of the ground. And more streams go into it. We have the Pege, the springs of the deep. Alright? That said, separate the waters, Hashemayim, from the waters. Now, in the middle here, we have a breathing space. What do we call that?
Atmosphere.
What are you breathing right now? Everybody take a breath at the same time. Mm-hmm. We didn't use it all up, did we? that's the atmosphere that we breathe. This is oxygen and everything. And what makes oxygen? What produces oxygen? We excel what? What do we exhaust?
Carbon dioxide.
Carbon dioxide. What makes oxygen?
Plant
life. You know that God knew that those plants were necessary for us to live? Guess what he created first? Let's go and look and see. Now here we have the breathing space. But above the earth was an ocean. Now just think about that for a while. Look outside. Now we see clouds in the skies a lot of times, don't we? Some clouds have a lot of water in them, don't they? Have you ever been in a place where it rained 20 inches in 24 hours? Or 24 inches in 24 hours? If you've been back in Texas, you haven't. Huh, brother?
Yep.
In Oklahoma? Louisiana?
Strangle frogs.
Yeah. The strangle frog I got when it rained. I mean, coming down. I was up in Fish Lake Valley where I lived up in Nevada one time, and it rained 12 inches in 1 hour.
He can do that. If you've never been to a place like that, you hadn't lived.
Yeah. That's the time I almost got killed in that flash flood up there. There was a river come down out of the mountain. It rained 12 inches in 1 hour, and there was a river come down out of those mountains 2 miles wide and about this deep, washing everything that you can think of. Now, water, God can transport water like that. How many trucks would it take to put that much water? But God can do it in the air. But now, originally, there was an ocean in the sky that was literally a bubble around this earth, and I don't know how thick it was, but it's pretty thick.
Thick enough.
All around this earth was an ocean in the sky, and there was a breathing space in the middle of it. Now, after the flood, God dumped the ocean down to the earth, and how much water was it there when he dumped it? 20. What?
Covered the earth.
It covered the earth 20
and
the something.
And mountains.
And the highest mountains 20 something feet deep.
22 feet.
That's how deep it was. Now that's how much water is up there and on the earth. That's how much it is. Because he said he opened up the springs of the deep. He caused it to rain, which it had never done before. And he dumped the oceans in the sky down to the earth. And when God got finished with it, it was 20 something feet above the tallest mountains. That's a lot of water. And it flooded all the earth. So here we have the earth, and that's what God's talking about here when he's separating the waters from the waters, the Hashemayim from the waters. Okay? Let's go on a little further. In verse number 6, and God said, let there become a breathing space of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And verse number 7 now. Verse number 7. Have you got your Episcopalian Bible there, Brother David?
Yep.
All right. Could you read from that for me, please? We'll correct it. We're not going to let them Episcopalians preach all day. Okay, go ahead.
And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it became so.
Well, you got that straightened out anyway at the end, didn't you? All right. And God made the expanse and separated waters which were below, and the expanse from the waters which were above, and it became so. This is what this is talking about. So you got a visual aid here, okay? That's what it looked like. If you want to write down in your little book and draw that little picture right over there to the side, you can do that in your syllabus. Because that's what it was like. All right. Number eight. Let's look at that. Have you got that... Michael?
And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day.
All right. And God called the breathing space, cut down some breathing space. All right. He called the breathing space Hashemayim. Now let's look at the word Ha and Mayim. All right. Ha and Mayim. What does Ha mean in Hebrew? It's what?
The.
That's a definite article. All right, how about Mayim? Maya.
That's stretched out.
Maya. Maya is water. Hasha Mayim. Im is plural. So we have the uplifted, if you translate this correctly, the uplifted waters. That's what Hashemayim, heaven, means. Now, just remember, now when we think about heaven today, we think about the abode of God, we think about the stars, the skies, and everything. But when God created the first heaven that we know about, and the first word, heaven, what was heaven? What is this? The uplifted waters. That's what it means, the uplifted waters. That's what Hashemayim means, the uplifted waters.
English somehow uses firmament. Does that mean the same thing? Is a firmament word?
It uses it here,
and otherwise there are other words for it, I guess.
Uh-huh. Well, the word firmament there, that was a word that was used back in King James time, and it meant, as far as I know, it comes from the word firm, which means to set in form, all right? A set of form. But the Hebrew, which we're really interested in, it means it declares and defines the first word for heaven, which means the uplifted waters, which gives you an idea of what the earth was like. We have earth, we have water on the earth, and then we have the uplifted waters, and in between is the breathing space of the Hashemayim, the uplifted waters. Okay?
He used the word expanse.
Expanse, yeah.
It's
breathing.
Firmament and expanse is used for that.
Yeah.
Because over in verse 6, you translated firmament for breathing space.
That's right. It's breathing space is what it literally means. Now, expanse. You can say expanse means a breathing space, okay? An expanded area from the waters, all right? You can call that an expanse. Let's go on here in verse 8. And God called the breathing space, or the expanse, heaven, and became evening and became morning, second day, day 2, all right? All right, separation of water. And then day 2. And then verse 9 now. We're starting the oceans here now in verse 9. We're going to have an ocean or a sea. Okay? Verse number 9. Brother John, you don't have it. Oh, okay. All right.
Genesis is pretty easy to find.
Oh, yeah. That's not hid between other books, is it? Genesis means beginnings, by the way. Go ahead, Brother John.
God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place. And let the dry land appear," and it was so.
All right. And God said, "Let the waters below the uplifted waters." That's beautiful because that's literally what it says. "Let the waters below the uplifted waters be gathered into one place, and let the land appear." And it became so. Now look here, what happened at this period of time. Now we have land forming, and the division between the land, all right, and the water. All right, there's where we have land appearing. Land begins to appear upon the earth, because otherwise it was just water and water. There was a lot of water over the land. Now we have land appearing. We have a Gondwana, Pangaea. All right.
I wonder if he adjusted the
poles of the earth.
Well,
the gravity.
The gravity.
God's able to do all of that. You know, God stopped the sun a couple of times, didn't he? In the past in history, just reading the Old Testament, you figure that out.
But gravity has to be a really very interesting thing.
That's right. Gravity is a very interesting thing. If it was more or less, we'd be in a whole lot different form and shape. How would you like to be 2 foot tall and running around as tall as wide as you are tall? Are they in Texas, brother? Let the water. God said, "Let the waters below the uplifted waters be in one place, and the land appear," and it became so. And verse number 10. Brother Lee already took off, didn't he? Are you there, Michelle?
Yes.
All right, number 10.
God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called sea, and God saw that it was good.
All right. Now, the word "was" there isn't really there, and God saw that it became good. Change in became is very important. The change in became is very important because it wasn't good before, was it? Now it becomes good. All right, that's number 10. So just cross-reference that there with where we are.
You know, Jim, in talking to people about creation, you don't realize how important that one little word is when they are forming their world view.
Yes.
Even when they're Christians, they still believe, most Christians believe "was" instead of "became."
Yes, right. Now, Brother David, you were going to bring your book with you today.
Uh-huh.
Do you have it with you?
Yeah, I do.
All right. On page 58 and 59, we need to read that. All right. From Eric Sauer, The Dawn of World Redemption.
Uh-huh.
number 58 on page 58 and 59 there. You need to read that real loud for me, okay?
You want me to read that about the earth crying out?
Yeah. I want you to read about it. Now, here we have the suffering earth. We had a suffering earth before. We still have a suffering earth. We talked about the earth crying out for the redemption, that man would straighten his act up so the earth could get back into order. All right? We're out of like Brother Blanton told me the other day, the only sane person in the universe is who?
God.
And all the rest is a bunch of nuts.
We are.
All right. And he's trying to run this insane asylum. Well, the earth even knows better than we do. The earth is crying out for its redemption. Brother David.
Jubilation and lamentation, kindness and cruelty, the joy of life, the grief of death, this all now convulses the whole world organism. At present, nature is like a sublime temple in a ruined condition whose deeply significant inscriptions have been maliciously caricatured by a hostile hand. And man, the ruler of the earth, is doubly degenerate. Either in his beastliness he becomes to the creature a Satan, or in his servile fear he kneels before the creature in worship. The defecation of nature begins where the knowledge of God disappears, and the Lord becomes both slave and tyrant. But throughout the creation there sounds a painful groaning, as it were a softly spoken prayer. With its melancholy inspired charm, it is like a bride who, already completely adorned for the marriage hour, has seen her bridegroom die on the appointed day. There she now stands with a fresh garland on her head, in bridal attire, but her eyes are full of tears. And yet not without hope is she subjected to her groaning. Like a captive but expectant virgin who stands on the seashore with uplifted head watching for her deliverer from a distant land, so does she yearn, intense expectation for the redemption from her bondage to vanity. We know that the whole creation groans together and now lies together in birth pains. But what then shall she bring forth? The new heaven and the new earth? Then all her longings will be stilled, and her dumb prayer be answered. And that day I will answer, saith Jehovah. I will answer the heaven, and this will answer the earth. And the earth will answer the corn and the new vine, and they will answer Jezreel. But the very sorrow of the earth joins to serve the redemption of man, for just because it cannot offer him what he expects from it, it sets him free from his false hopes and fosters his yearning after lost paradise. Thus shall the disappointments of the earthly help to liberate man for the longing after the heavenly, so that in the end he can confess, "See to my help, there came bitter grief."
Thank you, brother. Isn't that beautiful words?
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful words, talking about the earth moaning and groaning for her redemption because she knows the hand of God. Boy, yes. Wouldn't it be good if we had good enough sense to realize that gentle hand out there wanting to reform us? Yes. When we come to the point of knowing that we are lost and we need to be saved, and our lives in a total absolute mess the way we do them, the way we make them. You know, God does not give you any commands that's not good for you. You know that?
Right.
Never. God never gave you a command that was not good for you. If He says, "Thou shalt not do this," then you know why He doesn't want you to do that? Right. He doesn't want to keep you from having pleasure and being happy. He wants to keep you from sorrow. And the earth itself has better sense than we do.
Yeah, it wasn't because of what the earth did that she didn't.
No.
She was subjected to it.
The earth, she became formless and void.
Yeah.
She was subjected.
Romans 8 says that too.
Yeah. The earth, she became formless and void, and we are subjected. Now just look at it like this also. Now, it's not anything that we do that makes us sons of Adam, does it? What are you? Were you born in sin? Yeah. You're born in sin. You were conceived in sin.
Conception. You were in sin. It was wrong, right?
And when you confess to God and you say you're wrong, what are you saying? Homologia. That's what it says in Greek. Homologia. What does that mean? Homo means the same.
Something about
homo. Logia. It means to say the same thing that God already knows. If you're sinning, if you're living in sin, if you are wrong, confess your sins and turn around, because God wants to save you. He wants to make your life something good.
But He wants you to know it first.
But you've got to understand it. You've got to confess it first. You've got to. You've got to confess it first. You've got to say, I'm wrong. There are a lot of apples out there in the world, aren't there? You know, we talk about the apple on the tree, you know, that Adam and Eve ate. What was it? Well, it wasn't even an apple tree. It was a tree of knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know what it looked like. I don't know what it was. And there for a long time, people said, well, it was a tomato. That's what it was.
Pomegranate.
They had all people, kind of people had all kinds of stuff. But what was it? What is it today that so separates you from the love of God? Our lust. The lust of the flesh. We're going to see that later on in here. What do you lust after?
Whatever it was, it looked good.
Yeah.
And it's going to taste good, too.
It wasn't the apple, it was the pear. P-A-I-R. Man taking bad advice.
Well, what do we do? What do we do? You grow up in life. When you're a little kid, you know what you like? You like the picture?
I'll turn this thing over. It's having to sit on me here. Work.
Yeah, that helps when I say work. Maybe it will. When we're a young kid, what affects you? How are you affected by sin? What little things? What affects babies? What happens to babies? Have you ever seen a baby lie?
They get irritated and then they holler.
They get irritated and they holler because they little babies don't care about anybody else but baby, do they? If it's hungry, it's going to holler. If it is wet, it's going to holler. If it wants this, it's going to holler. If it wants that, it's going to holler. Well, as babies grow up, they begin to care. Normally, they do. They begin to care for somebody that's beyond the end of their nose.
Selfishly.
They start caring about brother and sister and mom and daddy. Well, as we grow up, our sphere of love and care gets out there a little bit further away. A little kid likes the marshmallow jar and the cookie jar and the peanut butter jar.
Well,
do you ever see a little kid get into that stuff? And you got to keep it away from them, don't you? Now, if they ate that all the time, what would it do to them? Wouldn't have any teeth. And they'd be diabetics when they're 10 years old.
To this day, I still love frozen cookies as well as fresh baked, because I always used to steal them out of the freezer.
There you go. Lust. What was the lust of a little child? First of all, anything they want. And then they want candy. And then when they become teenagers, what do they want?
It gets worse.
Money.
They want a kiss.
Money.
They have a brand new toy to play with. Don't they? And that becomes that. Sometimes that can separate them from God too, can't it? Their lust of the flesh. Feeling. Because they find out they got toys that God put in your body. And they want to make these little toys work. Well, doesn't it? And what does God tell you? God put that in marriage, didn't he? And that's where it is. Let's go on. All right. Now these are the stages in life. Now after you get married and that stuff wears off, you know.
Well,
all right.
What wears off?
It well a little bit. Then you get to thinking about other things, and you want this thing and you want that thing. But can these things separate us from God? Always.
Everything can.
That's right. Every bit of it can separate us from God. But what we need to do, as we go through life, is we need to realize that the earth has more sense than we do. the earth has been groaning for its redemption to get back in order again like it was back here in eternity past, and it's waiting for us to get in line.
We don't want it as much as
the
earth does.
The earth wants it bad because it felt the hand of God.
Well, it's hurting.
Yeah, the earth is hurting. We talk about global warming, we talk about weather pattern change and all of this. Look at the book of Revelation and see the epitome of that. It's happening right today. But it's going to get a whole lot worse. This earth, we are just in the birth pangs, just in the early stages of that over there in tribulation period. We're seeing what's going to happen when people are going to be starving to death, when the economy gets so terrible. Do you want to be part of that? I don't.
Previews of coming attractions.
Previews of coming attractions that I don't want to see. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, but some Christians insist we're going to go through it.
Well, they can go through it. I want to see it from a long distance is what I want to see. Well, brothers and sisters, this is all we have for today.
I want to see it from where John saw it.
All right. All right, we're going to quit right at C. We've covered A through... We've covered A, well, actually 1 and 2 and then A through C, and then we're going to go on down from there next week. Thank you for your attention. And I pray that God deals with your heart with the information that we've brought from God's Word today. And if your life is out of order, put it in order. Have as much sense as the earth. Get it straight. Get it straightened out. Because God wants His best for you. All right. Brother David.